This is the First Time Podcast.
Part reality series.
Part writer's masterclass. It's a podcast about the first time
you publish a book.
I'm Kate Mildenhall.
And I'm Catherine Collette. Welcome to The First Time.
Hello, Catherine.
It's been such a long time.
It really has. It really actually has this time, not even in the flesh, but because we had so many interviews to get through.
I know. And just life, lockdown. It's like nothing happens.
Well, that's the feeling. Have you seen all the very funny memes and things going around just reminding you how to have a conversation with your friends when you see them? No. Because people are reporting like, well, what do I say when I get to the picnic? Like, I've forgotten how to have a conversation with someone, or if I run into someone at the shops, you know.
One key way that Zoom is superior to real life, really the only way, is that you just, like, you can at any time just completely terminate a conversation. Oh,
can I tell you?
Bow out.
Can I tell you?
Camera off, slink away.
Like, camera off, slink away. And that's what I should have done for my dear friends who are listening, who were present at the 40th birthday trivia Zoom, which I ran last Saturday night, is that indeed at 11:30. And, you know, it had been fun. There were margaritas. There were, you know, it was a surprise. There were cakes turning up. It was a cross-country kind of an event. But at 11:30, as the person in charge, I was just like, sorry, that's it, bang, and terminated it. Not everyone was still on there, you know. And
I think that's great.
But everyone,
I'd be okay with it.
Everyone did say, like, there was a minor uproar immediately in the message thread, and then people did, you know, contact me to say that they were very grateful for my termination because, you know, they were ready for bed by 11:30.
I reckon.
At home on a Saturday night.
What time did it start?
7:30, you know.
Yeah, that's massive. That's huge. That's equivalent of like 4 a.m.
Exactly. Exactly.
Physical time. Yeah.
Do you think that we'll stay out till 4 a.m. again when we go back out into the world?
Kate, I have not stayed out till 4 a.m. in, like, up till 4 a.m. has not happened in many years. Out till 4 a.m. is like,
I must say, just because even remembering this is giving me a bit of a thrill that when, must have been early this year or late last year, who knows what's happened to time, when we did get to finally go out again, I did do a 4 a.m.er and we danced and it was so much fun. And I'm so glad we did, because that dance has had to like fully sustain me through 10 months. And I really need a dance right now, Catherine.
Don't look at me.
You're not coming out. I'm not going
in. I'd be more likely to get up at 4.
I know you would.
I know. Stayed the way through. I think we need more dancing at 4. No.
Your discipline in the morning, getting up.
I think it's just natural inclination. Like, I really, as much as I love like the kind of kudos that early risers get.
They do get it.
And because late night people absolutely don't get that. Like, I feel like it's quite undeserved.
Have you been getting up and have you been writing?
I have just restarted trying to write. I mean, we were talking off air about this. I feel like we're limping towards the finish line. I think I read somewhere it was 279 days we've spent in lockdown.
It's ridiculous.
Who is creative at this point? Like,
no,
it is all survival.
Yeah.
Well, that's how it is for me. Have you been creative?
No, I have not been creative. I have not been creative. I've been, and it was easy. It's been easy in a way to shift focus because I've had all this stuff for uni. But no, I felt a little inkling of it the other day. I was like, oh, that might be some words coming back. But no, they weren't there.
Child said, I'm hungry.
Exactly. And it doesn't matter what they say, is it? It's just the pitch and the knowing that they're there. It really has, messed with our minds. But gosh, I'm excited about the other side. Like, I'm actually expecting.
Have you booked a hairdresser?
Do you know, I've just heard terrible news that my hairdresser might not be coming back online until January. And as you can see, like, I started lockdown with half my head kind of buzz cut, and now I have long flowing locks, Catherine, and I can't deal with it. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I cut Etta's hair. Have you done any home haircuts for the kids?
No, we haven't. Mm. I've done Carney's hair, shaved his head multiple times. Nice. And we've threatened Oscar, but we haven't cut his hair.
Have you booked one?
I've booked one, yep, on the day. I'm taking the day off work.
Oh, my gosh. That is so good. I've got eyebrows booked in. Swim.
Swim, and then I'm going to get the haircut in that order, obviously.
I tell you what I'm going to do the minute that I can is drive to the damn ocean and put my body in it is what I'm going to do.
Going a fair bit to the bay, swimming. Mm. Very nice. Things to look forward to. Something that listeners can do now that's really fun is listen to the last episode in which you interview Brendan Cowell.
Cowell.
Having a second guess. Mm-hmm. Great interview.
Thank you. I was a little nervous, obviously, because I thought I was going to fangirl a bit hard, which potentially I did. And I did start watching Love My Way the day before, which probably wasn't a good move.
Such an incredible show. Can I say because I was like, if this was me, I would be struggling to speak with like fangirlness. But they do this thing that I heard about on the Office Ladies podcast, which is about The Office. And so when they have a guest on the show that has a pretty small part, but they maybe have to interact with Michael Scott, Steve Carell, who's the main actor, even for a really tiny part, they do an audition, but they have to do it with Steve Carell because a person can be really good, but then they can get in front of someone that they're in awe of and completely choke. So going in,
that's interesting.
Wondering, is she gonna
choke?
Is she gonna do like a Steve Carell takeoff that I could really that you would, but you would audition well in front of Steve Carell was my conclusion from that interview.
That's great. I like that. Thank you very much. One of the things that I didn't do well is, and that I still think really requires further discussion, is, and I can say it to you now, and all of our listeners, is that what I wanted to get at was this idea that I do think the kind of, the blokey bloke.
I knew you were going to talk about masculinity.
Yeah. The blokey bloke does get, the blokey bloke who can write poetry is kind of well regarded in this country anyway. That's what I was trying to get at. And
I think you did say that.
Yeah, I kind of did.
At one point that you get to succeed in the sporting domain and the literary domain.
Yeah.
And you kind of get kudos from.
Yeah, you both. Do. I think there's an element probably, and he might disagree, but I think that there's an element of the Trent Dalton phenomenon in that as well, that he gets that kind of same kudos for being the bad boy from the wrong side of the tracks. You know, that he kind of perpetuates that narrative too. He's okay with that. But, yeah, it's interesting. I think there's further discussion to be had in this area.
You can invite him back on. We could have a three-person interview and I could just
absolutely. Look, I should.
Silently before leaving.
Yeah, and I do want to make clear that there has been actually some follow-up from Brendan himself, who did follow up to check in why his DMs weren't being flooded, because I had promised that our podcast listeners would flood his DMs. So, you know, if you were wondering whether you should send Brendan a message, he was actually a bit indignant that they hadn't come. Indeed. So, yeah, that was my celebrity moment of the last few weeks. But it's so odd, isn't it, like everything, that because we're not leaving the house, like everything is kind of flattened in the hierarchy, yes, of importance or whatever. Like if you had have told me back when I was whatever age, 20, how old were we? 26 or something, that when I was weeping to Love My Way, that not only would I like that Claudia Carvin would read my book and then I would interview Brendan Cowell, like what I would not,
yeah,
have
pretty
yeah But then lockdown emotions come along and you're just like, oh, yeah, I'm interviewing Brendan this morning. Okay. I know that you have read it because I have asked you. We wouldn't be a literary podcast if we did not this week talk about Jason Bad Art too. Friend. No.
We are not talking about that.
We're not talking about criticism and Sally Rooney. That is not what we're talking about. Take it off the agenda, Catherine.
Oh, damn it. I had so many thoughts.
But we will talk about Bad Art Friend because that's gone viral enough that we can't get in any trouble for talking about it. Is that true?
It's incredible.
It's everywhere. Crazy.
I actually haven't read much of the – having said that, I haven't read much, any of the commentary, but I have read Bad Art Friend.
And how did it come into your sphere, Catherine? I want to know this.
Oh, I think on Twitter.
Yeah.
I think on Twitter seeing it trend as a topic and then Googling what is Bad Art Friend.
What is Bad Art Friend?
Yeah, and then reading it and understanding there was some controversy. But I haven't kind of – I just probably got distracted. It is something I would enjoy falling down the rabbit hole of.
Oh, I know you would. I know you would enjoy falling down the rabbit hole. And I fell down the rabbit hole. And then because a number of other friends were falling down the rabbit hole as well, there was additional things. But, you know, like there's so much to unpack that we can't really unpack it all. What was your initial fear for yourself when you finished reading it? Like which, but did you say, oh my God, I've written someone else's story before, or oh my God, I don't want anyone ever to subpoena my chats, or what? What was your immediate?
I think the theft of people's stories is more it. Yeah. But I mean, it's such an extreme. They're
it's
such
so extreme.
Extreme
it's so extreme.
Like, you sort of sympathize with one and then you're like, oh God, really? And then they're both equally unlikable.
Yeah, which is the art of the piece too. And actually, I was getting on my high horse a bit and I was quite into the idea that was, you know, other people. I let other people do the discourse about the fact that the guy who wrote the article, Robert, what's his name, you know, had made whatever, $10,000, $20,000 writing the article, and that was, you know, also kind of adding an additional layer. But then Fiona Scott Norman, who's ace, put up a thread on Twitter about just how finely crafted the piece is as well. That it so takes you on the journey of liking first whatever her name is and then the other and then Dawn and then just being like your whole brain exploding with the WhatsApp thread as it comes into the thing.
Yeah.
So it's very artfully done. And for 10,000, it's a 10,000 word piece. Like that's insane that people kept reading.
I do understand that compulsion of occasionally in life, Dawn is ridiculous. Like with the kidney and the thing on Facebook that she posts. Occasionally in life, someone like I can also understand seeing her posts on Facebook and being like, it's perfection. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I cannot
write
just
this.
Falls out on the page. Like so, the reality of them is so beautiful.
So Catherine Collette.
So I can understand that compulsion.
Have you ever stolen someone's story?
I have definitely adapted stories. There's a big story in the competition, which I can't say, but is because it's kind of the reveal. But it happened to the guy that sat next to me at work. And he says it's true, and I believe that it's true, but I suspect no one will believe that it's true. Like it's such a, like a...
No, this is great because then we can come back to this.
Because we can come back to it.
Does he know
that I've put it in there. I think he knows. Yeah, he knows.
He knows now.
Because I wanted to, I've asked him several times, can I talk to another person involved in the story? So I have been... I've definitely included other people's stories and sometimes I've asked and sometimes I haven't. I guess they've always been pretty minor inclusions. Like I haven't done a whole short story. It's more moments of other people's.
Yeah, which is what we do all the time, right? I mean, that's the deal. That's why it's so interesting and such murky ethical territory.
I'm going to flip it back to you. Have you lifted? someone else's story. Oh, no, I'll start with, what about this bad art friend, this whole story, what about it prickles at you most?
I think I had the classic response. I was like, oh my God, you're that person, you know, with the Facebook thing. I was like, you are so that person. And then
I love that person, there's no way I would never not follow. I would read every post.
and then just the world of it, and then and then the reveal, when you're like, oh my God, she did actually lift the words. That's probably a bit. And then when the WhatsApp comes out, or whatever, the message thread, I was just like, holy shit. Imagine if that happened to you.
With gaslighting as well.
Oh my gosh. The whole thing was crazy. The whole thing was crazy, but I also just love anything that goes viral. Like, then I just love that everyone's got a hot take. And how hot their hot take can be. But here we are not really adding anything to the discourse except for the fact that we have to talk about it. I did the short story that in fact led to Skylarking being published, because it's when the person who published it kind of first reached out to me when I entered it into a competition. And it's about an old man who collects dolls. And it was based on my friend's neighbor. And I did for a little bit, because I took it to next level territory, him and these dolls. And I did feel a little bit weird about it for a while, but he was so outside the sphere as well. I knew he would never read it, you know. It's that kind of thing where you're like, oh.
Well, it's hard, I think, too, if you take something and then you exaggerate it in a really negative way.
Yeah.
Then you sort of have this additional layer of like, I don't want them to know this because I've made them much worse than they are, and then will they think that this whole. Yeah.
But also then, because we are writers, everyone always thinks that they're written into your book anyway. Like, you know, people go around going, oh, that must be, oh, is that based on? No, it's not. I made it up. That's from my imagination. But, you know, I think it's so odd. I actually, because of the uni stuff at the moment, I did an ethics lecture recently. Like, I attended an ethics lecture and I was like, far out. Imagine if we went through life all the time with this degree of thinking about integrity and the ethics of what we're doing. Like, you couldn't just do life very well without it at the kind of level that you have to think about it.
That too, from a pretty much anything based on real life events where the people are still living is would be very hard to get ethics approval for.
Absolutely. Oh, it's murky world. But gosh, it's a little bit, I think, like the earthquake. Like, we needed bad art friend last week.
Have we spoken to the... We haven't spoken to each other since this.
I don't think we're
spoken. I was out running. Earthquake. Did not notice a thing. Didn't, like, not even... Now thinking back, I'm like, God, there are a lot of people on the street. And why were those kids crying? And, like, there was... I just saw nothing. Just passed me by.
But don't you think...
My thunderous feet on the footpath.
Yeah, because you were running. Because you're in the game.
Yeah.
I can't believe what's happened to time and all the things that have happened in between the time we last saw each other and now. It's breaking me, Catherine. We're going to cut this bit out.
I had a very fleeting career of recording from Kathleen's side. Yeah, recording studio. We had to take lessons. We got Phoebe to show us how to do it.
And we'll never have to interview anyone in person again.
No. Imagine if you were them and had invested in that whole studio. Like,
people will still do it, though.
Musicians, I think, will still.
Yeah, people totally will. Okay, tell me, have you been reading? Have you been able to read?
I have not read a lot. I read that seven. Oh, no, I'm not going to say a reading. I'm going to say a great episode of the Good One podcast, which I have mentioned before. But this episode is with Tig Notaro, which she is a very well-loved comedian. I actually haven't listened to her comedy that much, but there always seems to be, when people talk about her, this real sense of awe about who she is. But Anyway, they have this very interesting discussion in which the host asks Tig what it's like to be cool. And so she very kind of humbly but also honestly acknowledges the fact that she is cool.
And that is so cool.
It is, because no one ever talks from a cool person. Like, there's always the point of view of wanting to be cool, but there's never the point of view of, like, I am cool and this is what it is like. And she sort of talks about it like an element of aloofness or like, it's just such an interesting.
Wow. Okay. I want to add that right now.
And very candid thing. Have you got a recommendation? I do have one more, but I'll have to look the name of it up.
I have been so deep in PhD reading, but one of the things that I think is really worthwhile that our listeners might like is this book called Bowerbird, The Art of Making Theatre Drawn from Life by Alana Valentine, who's an Australian theatre maker, and Michelle Lee, who the theatre writer, playwright, who I'm doing the course with, recommended it, and it's so cool. So she does verbatim theatre, so, you know, where she goes out and kind of interviews communities or people within a community, and then it's kind of played back through the theatre form. She does lots of other things as well, but it's, you know, I'm obsessed with books on writing craft and writing practice, and it's just really super interesting. Ethical stuff.
What is this with nonfiction theatre, like docu-theatre and stuff like that?
Yeah.
I guess it's like maybe a subcategory of.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating.
It's really, really interesting. And also the other thing that comes across in it is that she's just prolific in her work output and, you know, going for grants and approaching communities. And it's just also from that point of view of being an artist who is trying to make a living doing their work, it's really inspiring the way that she's kind of created this impressive, huge career. So, yeah, it's a little bit tricky to get. It's published by Currency Press, but a few libraries have copies, and I think you can get it on the online booksellers as well.
As a PhD student, would libraries send you books?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Well, like my library, the university that I'm with, does send me out books, and I get these packages. And in fact, the other day I requested a book, they purchased a book, and then they covered it in beautiful cover, and then they sent it out to me, and I'm like the first little baby PhD hands on it.
God.
I know, right? It's amazing. They are extraordinary. Like, people who work in libraries, just, mate, they deserve all of our gratitude and thanks, I think. It was Love Your Bookshop Day as well while we were.
It was Love Your Bookshop Day.
In lockdown. It's going to be amazing when we get back out there.
Oh, my God. There's so many things I want to do. I'm going to stroll as opposed to walk, just stroll.
It's the idea of, like, it seems crazy because we have been, I feel, entirely purposeless at the moment, nearly entirely purposeless. But there is an element of wanting to just be out wandering. I don't necessarily need to do the midnight Kmart wander. That's not really my shtick.
That's tragic, isn't it? But, like, I'm not judging that, but I do think. Oh,
but I just do want to kind of be somewhere with nowhere necessarily to be on my own without my children.
And so much just stimuli, like just, you know, watching other people do things.
Give it all to me. I want to be on a train, eavesdropping on people.
Have a cup of coffee in a place, you know. Sounds like heaven.
Yeah. Have someone bring the coffee to you. Do you know what actually has been, and this is really unfair to you, I can't even believe I'm going to say it because you are undertaking alcohol-free month, but what I want most and what has been like making my brain crazy is beer from a tap. Like the sound of the beer coming from the tap and then the coldness you can't get any other way and then being handed it and then like walking back to the table holding like four of them. That I fantasize about it.
A very nice picture. I'd also like to do a retreat. Like that would be nice. I think it's also solitude. Like I think I crave that not talking to anyone but in the world kind of state, you know?
Yeah, going around having other people being busy around you. It's going to be amazing when we get out there.
Oh, it's going to be like My kids, your kids as well. Are you back at school on Monday? My preppy is back at school on Monday.
No. Oh, so that's 3 days. Preppies are doing 3 days, are they?
Preppies are doing 3 days, and then my grade two is doing the other 2 days, which is both convenient and inconvenient at the same time. So we'll still be doing homeschool.
Yeah, no, but we don't get – we've got
good for that.
One going back on Thursday and then the next one going back the week after. It's just drawing out the thing. But, oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. Anyway, no one can take this joy. No one can take this joy away from us right now. There's some things going on. Not heaps of things, but I do want to say people should follow Literary Listings on Twitter and Instagram, because she, I will say, is absolutely keeping on top of all of the online events. So if you want like a handy little what's on this week online, Literary Listings is doing that for you. But for the only thing that I can offer is that on the 26th of this month, October, at Readings, I will be hosting the lovely Anna Downs, who we have spoken to before, and the lovely Christian White, who we have spoken to before. It is online. It is online. And I do know that it is the first night. I know it is the first day of freedom. It was locked in before then. And they are, of course.
Oh, that would be good.
Well, Christian's Melbourne.
I might sit in a cafe. Oh, no, I can't sit in a cafe. I can sit outside a restaurant. Sorry.
No, that's fine.
Very popular. Very popular. It's like if I'm in a room with Carney and my phone rings, I'm like, that'll be my mum. And if I'm a room, if I'm somewhere with my mum and my phone rings, it's like, that'll be Carney. That was Carney. So,
see, there you go. Yeah, I know. I did feel like calling them back and saying, guys, it's the first night. But
that's a killer combination, though. Like, that's a good.
I don't even know why they need me, you know. I'm just going to wrangle them. I'm going to wrangle them into it.
You'll be fabulous.
Anyway, so that's on.
You're good with Steve Carell. You'll be all over these guys.
Celebrities, come at us. Everyone, go well until we're out down here. And congratulations, everyone who's not in lockdown. Enjoy
every blessed minute. That's what I'll be like on the 26th.
You can find the show notes for today's episode on our website, thefirsttimepodcast.com. Get in touch with us via Instagram or Twitter at thefirsttimepod, or you can leave us a message on the website. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to The First Time Podcast. We record this podcast virtually on the unceded lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders, past and present, and we extend that to our First Nations guests and listeners. Sound production by Phoebe 80, who we can employ because of the wonderful support of our patrons via Patreon. Thank you so much for making this podcast possible.